Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We are going to talk about an interesting issue here. Coming up, and that is, you know, when nature calls and you're out scuba diving, depending on the vessel you're traveling on, it may or may not have a marine head.
Now, if you don't mind me bringing this up.
Okay.
I really kind of wish you'd started talking about this in hour number one as opposed to hour number two.
Ah, yes.
Because, you know, the number one, I'm actually kind of okay with.
That's fairly easy to
solve.
Mm-hmm.
But the number two, though, that's kind of a... That's
it's a little bit more of a tricky situation.
It's a crappy situation is what it is.
Yes, it is indeed. Well, we're going to discuss this in some manner and figure out, you know, exactly, is there a proper way to do this from a... I don't know. Can you get away with it? I don't know. We're going to discuss it in some fashion that won't get us kicked off the air. Hopefully.
One of the things that immediately leaps to mind is the whole idea of cleaning up afterwards.
Well, it's not as hard as it sounds, I don't think, from that standpoint.
Well, you just grab a piece of coral?
Well,
Just grab one of them narrow sponge corals and pretend it's a corn cob and off you go?
Oh! Well, I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily a big problem when you're in the water, necessarily. This is what people have told me. In some
you're
of the,
scaring the bejeebers out of me.
The testimonials that I'm reading online. But you know, this is an issue because, you know, they say there's two types of divers.
I was just thinking, what if your boat doesn't have a poop deck either?
Oh! There's two types of divers, right? There's divers that pee in their wetsuit, and then there's divers that lie about peeing in their wetsuit. That everyone does at one time or another. And whether they admit it or not is up to them. But what if it is number two, as they say? Is there a proper technique? Is there a proper way to do this? Should you alert the boat captain that you have a problem? Or should you just find a way to take care of business and move on? I found an interesting article online that talks about just this. And it's kind of scary. I gotta say, I've never experienced this. Thank God, knock on wood. Yes, I am knocking on my head right now.
We'll get the poop on that later on.
Yes, but I don't know. It just stinks, and we are going to cover it. And maybe you'll learn something, or maybe you won't.
Whew.
But it's something that you may have to deal with if you're a diver, and if you're not, and you know somebody is having a problem on the boat that I'm describing right now, maybe you'll know where you should be. Or where you shouldn't be, if you know what I'm saying. But first, treasure hunters are under attack. Treasure divers, we have one of the best online right now, Captain Carl Fismer. He has a TV show. Well, it's called Treasure Hunters, I believe, isn't it, Carl?
It's Treasure Divers.
Treasure Divers, right.
It took us a year to film it, 6 episodes, and it premiered on the Dish Network and Cablevision Northeast. is presently running in England, Russia, and the country of India. So it's still on the air somewhere.
Yeah, and it's in high definition, good stuff. And, if you want to do a little search online, you can find Treasure Diver somewhere on there. If you just do a little Google search, I'm sure you'll find it with him and Captain Gary doing their thing. It's good stuff indeed. But after all the goodwill that you guys done with the TV show and all the things that you've discovered underwater from shipwrecks and gold and you know, all kinds of neat things. I mean, when you see Captain Carl at some of the dive shows, he usually brings a museum of artifacts with him. And he has just an amazing assortment of stories and how they were found, where they came from, what they do. It's pretty cool stuff. And lo and behold, now, after all this goodwill you've thrown out there, Carl, they're coming after you. The state doesn't want you to continue doing what you've been doing for years and years and years. What is going on exactly?
Well, first, just to make a point, the pioneers in our business, I'm talking men like Art McKee, who actually is the father of modern-day treasure hunting, and Jack Haskins, D.L. Cheney, Duke Long, and, of course, Mel Fisher, who really was one of the leaders in the business. Without these people, there would never have been any recoveries. Jack Haskins, as the best researcher in the world, and in my opinion, the best treasure hunter, Jack's responsible for most of the Spanish treasure that's been recovered to date, either through research or physically jumping in the water and finding it. Anyway, so the state of Florida now, since the 1960s, has more or less taken charge of the shipwrecks in their waters. And then in 1988, the Congress and the Senate passed the Abandoned Shipwreck Bill, which gave them ownership. And in essence, it did away with admiralty law, the old law of the sea. So we've been trying to work with them ever since. The first underwater state archaeologist was Carl Clausen. I believe he was the first. And he was brand new, and Carl actually tried to do a good job. He tried to be fair with everybody. And he even told me, I worked with Carl diving Little Salt Spring back in the 70s. That was archaeology because, you know, the Colusa Indians thousands of years. But since then, every year they come up with new rules and new laws that are aimed at one thing, and that is to just put us out of business.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really do get a bad rap. I mean, even when you look at movies and stuff, it's always like the treasure hunters or the pirates of the sea, and it does seem like more and more there's a spin on it that, oh, they're destroying the environment and blah, 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 blah. But the reality is like you just said, if it weren't for treasure salvers, and we wouldn't see any of this stuff and wouldn't be aware of any of these artifacts being in a museum today or whatever. Is it all come down to money and just the state really said, hey, wait a minute, they're getting crap loads of money here. We want a piece of this action.
Well, it's not just the money part, although the state does get a percentage and they do take the best of everything whenever division time comes. But it's also power and control. And the state archaeologists believe that once they put us out of business, then that the taxpayers are going to hold still for bureaucrats going treasure hunting. The big mess the taxpayers are complaining about today, I don't think they'd hold still for another big, whatever you, I don't want to say that word. Are we on a time lapse?
Not enough, Carl.
What were you going to say? Bailout? That's what you were going to say, right?
Bailout's a good word. Yes.
But one of the things, though, Carl, it's always a risk that you guys take as treasure hunters when you put together an expedition. You don't know if you're going to get a return or not, and I completely agree with you. I don't think the government can afford to take that risk.
Well, they can't, and actually they even wouldn't, and even if they did get lucky somehow and make recoveries, none of it is going back into the private sector. That's just not going to happen. The private people in this business, the men I just named, they're the ones responsible for every method we've got in this business. They started the research, the search, the salvage, the preservation. Everything has been done by the private sector. And oddly enough, this meeting coming up on the 21st of October, they're going to have it so the public can show up for some input, the state is. But isn't it a coincidence that they just happen to have it when most of the Florida dive people are going to be in Las Vegas at the DEMA show?
That's just plain good planning on their part, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, less people to complain about it. That's their thoughts.
Okay, well, let's go back a step. Like the current system, how does it work? Like if you find something, the state gets 50% of the findings, and then they get to pick whatever artifacts they want. Is that something like it in a nutshell, kind of?
No, the way it is right now, the state only gets 20%.
Oh, okay.
They used to get 25 until Mel Fisher took them into court. By the way, I think Mel was in federal court 113 times against the bureaucrats, and he won 112.
Hmm.
So during one of those decisions from the Supreme Court, they threw the state out of it altogether. But out of Mel wanting to, in the spirit of cooperation, he said, look, if you just stop harassing us, we'll give you 20%. Now, they used to get 25. Mel offered them 20, and, of course, they took it. But the harassment, of course, never stopped. The big, by the way, they're amending rules, and this one officially is called 1A-31.0027. And there's several of them in that, but if you need the numbers on it to complain to the governor and the secretary of state, that'd be nice. That's 1A-31.0027 concerning shipwreck salvage laws. The main thing that's going to hurt us in this one, they don't want anybody working within 500 yards of the beach. And all the good stuff is right in close, you know, because when them galleons got into trouble and separated, the upper deck came off and headed for shore. And all of the real good stuff, the gold and everything, was in the captain's cabin up on the main deck. So all the goodies are in there. So by saying we can't work within 500 yards of the beach, that pretty much kills it.
And why is that? What is the point? Why are they saying they don't want you doing that? They're afraid you're going to screw up the beach or what?
No. Ultimately, the goal is for them to get it in their hands. But I want to touch on that environment thing.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Hold on. Well, I want to find out more about this because this is an interesting issue. And is it one of those situations where the state's kind of getting in there and getting involved in things they really have no business in? I don't know. But that's what we're kind of trying to find out and get to the bottom of it. There's evidently a meeting next week to address this. And, of course, he mentioned some of it is scheduled while we're in Las Vegas. But that doesn't mean you can't get involved and put in your 2 cents. I think public comment is being taken for October 13th. All right, more coming up. Stay close. Treasure hunting.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You mean they were only scuba divers?
Professional sea scavengers. This pony head hid the scuba mask. The fin on the back concealed a scuba tube. The flippers on the feet actually helped them swim faster.
We are talking about treasure hunting, or treasure diving today. Captain Carl Fismer, a world-renowned treasure hunter, is on the line with us. They are under attack, treasure hunters in Florida, and Carl's trying to explain the situation to us. And we're talking about the fact the state of Florida said no treasure hunting within, 500 feet of the beach?
500 yards.
500 yards.
That's more than a quarter of a mile.
Wow.
And that's where all of the good stuff is, of course.
Yeah, it kind of comes to shore, breaks up, or runs aground, and then it's washed in, and that's where you find coins and God knows what else.
The best recoveries we've ever made, and I'm talking gold, has been in, like, hip-deep water. I almost wish it was out deeper. It'd be a heck of a lot easier to work.
Well, I would imagine so. But so why is the state saying this? Why are they saying we want you, I want you out of here, Carl? What's going on?
Well, they want us totally out so the archaeologists will have something to do. You know, that's been a big problem. Every year, our colleges and universities have been graduating thousands of archaeologists, and they have, you know, where are they going to go? There's only so many pyramids. So, yeah, well, most of them wind up working as social workers, oddly enough, and then they read about Mel Fisher and everybody. They shouldn't do that. They don't have a degree. But archaeology, by its definition, has nothing to do with the shipwrecks in the Western Hemisphere. Everything we have is post-Columbian. The Atocha is probably the best example because it's the best known, of course. Everything about the Atocha is available for study. It was built in Havana Harbor, 1620, sank 1622. Everything's available, crew, captain, cargo, man, the whole nine yards, the building, everything of it. But yet this thing's been sunk by a hurricane, torn up for 300 years in a high-intensity area, high-energy, shallow water, and yet for some reason they want to do a complete archaeological study on things like that when we already know everything. There's too many of them is the problem, and so they end up working, you know, like for the state, and they've got to show their importance. They want to put us out of business, and then they want to do it. However, with tax money, I assume.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you need to have a financial incentive because it takes a lot of equipment and manpower to pull these salvage operations off, unless you're the government and you just throw money at it. And like you said, that's kind of what they're doing with some of these folks, I guess.
Well,
huh?
That's exactly what happens. But let me touch on the environment because that's such a sensitive issue.
Okay.
All right, the Spanish galleon first. The bulk of all the treasure on the Spanish galleons was silver, like 95%. Now, you hear a lot about gold and gold doubloon, and they're nice. Yes, I love them to death.
Yeah.
But the bulk of it is in silver. Silver is toxic to the marine environment. That's why Mother Nature, with her salt water, oxidizes silver, and eventually it will be completely gone. It will be oxidized away, gone forever. So if we don't pick it up now, we're never going to get it. We're never going to retrieve that history or anything else. Secondly, they had large consignments of copper. You know, the Margarita sank when the Atocha did in 1622. We have old aerial shots that the U.S. Navy took in the 40s and 50s of the Marquesas. The Margarita shows up as a big black-looking donut. And that's because of the silver and the copper. The Margarita had a lot of copper on it. I don't have to tell you what would happen if you dropped a hunk of copper in your fish tank. They go belly up.
Yeah.
So since Mel Fisher went down there and worked the Margarita and got all that copper and silver out of the water, if you look at a satellite picture today of the same site, the reef is healing itself back up. Yeah, if the water is clean, the reef will get better.
I'll tell you what, Scuba Radio is also trying to do their part, Carl, just so you know. We drink a lot of margaritas so that stuff doesn't get into the environment.
That's right.
Well, that helps, too. I appreciate that.
I'm sure you've lended a hand to that effort as well over the years, haven't you, Carl?
Myself and my crew are doing all we can along those lines and then some.
Nice. All right, well, hold the line. We're going to get some more information so you can follow up on this issue and put in your two cents to the state. Sounds like we need to, we need to protect our fellow divers, whether treasure hunting or not. Sounds like he has a pretty good argument there, if you ask me. Just my two cents. What do you think? More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com. Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
All right, it's Florida Rule 1A-31. If you do a search online, I know you can find the rule right there. And Captain Carl, do we have a website or something that people can go to? Or what, did you give that to Bill? Is that the deal?
Well, I have my website, but all this started happening so fast, I don't have the information on it. But if you punch up Mel Fisher and his group, I'm certain they've got it.
Okay, like melfisher.com, go there. But like I said, if you do a Google search on Florida Rule A or 1A-31, I know you can find information on this as well. And then you can put in your 2 cents. They're taking public comment, I believe, till like October 13th or something like that, at least for a few more days.
Yeah, and the meeting's on the 21st, and so we all got to be out the DEMA by then.
Yes, exactly. So it's
they think of everything.
Yeah, it sounds fishy to me, for sure.
MelFisher.com has a link right on their main page.
Mel Fisher. Great.
Yep. There you go. All right, hey, Carl, we're going to get back into a topic about relieving yourself underwater. And I'm talking about number one, which we all do, or we lie about it, but number two. Have you ever had that problem yourself, or would you care to keep that to yourself?
Well, as far as number one goes, I don't lie about it. I just, what choice do you have, especially if you're picking up coins? What am I going to do? Excuse me, I'm going to the men's room?
Yeah, well, okay, good point.
Oh, by the way, look that up on Mel's, but you can plug my website if you like. I don't mind.
Oh, which one is that?
Spanish Main Treasure?
SpanishMainTreasure.com.
Okay. All right, and that talks about you going number two? Is that what you're saying?
It's a good thing I'm down here and you're up there. I'd slap you silly. But somebody beat me to it.
Oh, you got that right. You got that right. All right, well, I would imagine that's about the rule and all kinds of other things.
One more plug. I'll be at DEMA, booth number 4833.
4833. All right, Carl, we'll catch up with you there in a couple weeks. And we'll talk about number... Well, one or two.
I'd like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master. He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Ravi. I'm from zip-fiji.com.
Oh my God, I'm twisting around. I'm backwards. Help me! Oh my God.
You are listening to Scuba Radio.
I'm going to die.
World's first radio show.
I'm going to hit a tree.
Devoted to divers. On a surface interval, don't forget to come ziplining with me.
Woo-hoo!
In the meantime, keep listening to Greg the Dive Master. He's also a zipline master.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I live!
You survived the zip.
Sir Evie, do you have a change of pants or anything I could...
Oh, no.
Oh, great. Well, that is ironic that Bill the Engineer played that little clip from our adventure in Fiji. Because this is a topic that's, you know, you got to handle it very delicately.
No, I don't think you have to handle it at all. I think that's really, that's a bad plan, handling it.
All right, here's the scenario. You're out on a dive trip, and you're going out on a boat that's it's small. Say it's a six-pack. You know, only six divers on the boat. They don't have a marine head. And, of course, if you have to relieve yourself and go number one, not a problem. But what if you're in Mexico and the night before, you know, you chowed down on some quesadillas, they didn't quite agree with you. And the next day out on the dive boat, you're going, uh-oh, this isn't good. Something's rumbling around down there, and it's going to come out one way or another. What do you do? Now, I can speak from personal experience that this didn't happen to me, but I was with, I feel bad. I feel like I'm going to out him or something here. But we were in Dominica, and I was traveling with Jimmy the Helper Boy. And the story was, we went to this area, a swimming hole. They have like 365 rivers and streams and freshwater, waterfalls and all kinds of neat scenic places that they take you to take pictures and to go swimming.
I suspect at the end of this story, the water's not going to seem quite as fresh.
Well, for those downstream, I'm going to say you are definitely correct, sir. But let me paint the picture for you. But it's like, you know, Fantasy Island. It's a very tropical, lush green, and this beautiful stream we're taken to. We jump in, we go swimming, and we're just hanging around, just chatting, having a good time. And there's a nice current to this stream, and all of a sudden Jimmy swims downstream, and I don't know, he swims a couple hundred feet away, right, downstream, and I look down, I see him, and I start swimming down that way, and he, you know, he's down there hanging out on the surface, and, you know, he starts swimming back, and he passes me, he goes, oh, you don't want to go down there. I'm like, what are you talking about, you don't want to go down there? Well, you can imagine what he did. Now,
I refuse to imagine it.
Okay.
I don't have to. You can't make me.
That's a picture I painted you'd prefer not to have, is what you're trying to say.
I do not have to accept modern art, and I do not have to accept your story.
Well, after he said that, of course, I immediately turned around and swam back up against the current and got far upstream from Jimmy and stayed there for the next few minutes. There was a strong current, so I feel that it was not an issue anyway, but, you know, did I mention there are a lot of waterfalls in Dominica?
Jeez.
Those poor, unsuspecting victims downstream.
Just sitting there underneath the waterfall, right on your shoulder. That ain't right. That's not right.
That's not
that's about as wrong as one thing can be.
Yes, it is. But, you know, I didn't even... I'll be honest with you. I didn't know that was even really possible to do such a thing. But evidently it is, according to Jimmy. I mean, at least in the water like that. I just never thought of doing that. And he did, and, well, we'll pick it up after while we won't.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already, what is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas, Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. This is a very difficult topic to discuss on the air today. But it's something you may have to deal with, you know, when you're diving. And why not address, you know, we just want everybody to be informed and might give you some ideas. I mean, you know.
Hold on one second.
Yes, Bill.
You put the call out there today for the Scuba Radio chat room to give you... you know, some ideas, some topics that they may want you to talk about today.
Yeah.
Who in the Scuba Radio chat room gave you this idea? Nobody.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure nobody did. No, they talked about Guam. They talked about, you know, diving in Washington State. There's a lot of great topics you could have gone with, and instead, this is what you latch on to.
You know, I think it's my duty to take topics.
You said duty. I must tell you, SpanishMainTreasures.com, Carl Frismer couldn't be happier to be in the number 2 hour of Scuba Radio.
Well, this is only appropriate for the topic we are discussing. And
the
that is
number 2 hour.
What happens when you have to go and you're out on a dive boat? And I just told the story of Jimmy, what happened in Dominica. Now, we weren't diving. We were just swimming in a freshwater stream there.
I noticed you tell the story on a day where Jimmy's not here to defend himself.
Correct.
And tell his version of the story. Because, you know, I've been in plenty of rooms that Jimmy's walked into and then walked out of and said, you don't want to go in there. And it didn't mean that he had left a gift, you know, on somebody's desk here at the studio.
Yes. Well, as far as we know, at least.
Right.
But I was there. I saw it.
I've seen him carbonate a body of water, too.
Have you?
I've seen him make some pretty big bubbles.
Started his own little jacuzzi, did he?
Yeah.
Well, I took his word for it, and I turned around and swam as fast as I could up against the current and stayed upstream from him, at least for the next few minutes, just to be safe. But, yeah, God bless those people downstream. You know, they're enjoying the freshwater waterfalls of Dominica. Oof, it's a scary
right,
image.
But let's
get back to
the... You're
on
a dive trip instead.
Yeah, let's get to the issue at hand. Let's say you're out on the dive boat, and they don't have a marine head because it's a small, you know, little six-pack type vessel.
Or for some reason, the head is not working.
Okay. What should you do? You know, there's an article I found online. I think it was from the Undercurrent folks from a few years ago. And I was like, this is an interesting scenario that they discuss, and that is, you know, what is the proper etiquette?
There is no proper etiquette. Proper etiquette says, first of all, you don't even talk about this.
Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to be willing to go there to educate the divers and find out if there is a standard. Like, do you try to just take care of business without anyone knowing? Do you alert the captain and say, hey, I need to jump off the back of the boat here and... tell everybody to go somewhere else, or do you grab a bucket, or what do you do?
Can we send an email to Miss Manners to get the proper etiquette for what happens in this situation?
I think, you know what, we've been on the air for 11 years. We can probably handle this on our own. Miss Manners, I don't think she's going to have
yourself,
any.
Chief.
She's not going to have any better suggestions than what... than what I've read here. And this is like one lady says, well, this is one of the reasons why she wears a two-piece bathing suit is because it'd be easier to take off and take care of business if indeed such a situation arise. And the issue is, she also discusses whether or not, okay, do you go deep and find a coral head to hide behind? or do you just hang from the drift line at the surface? And, you know, that's fine if there's a current, but God forbid you're in some Caribbean or Pacific destination where you have pristine conditions and there is no current. I would say floating at the surface, probably not the best situation for trying to...
I would agree.
...do this.
I would agree.
And one of the advantages, if you're deep, it says, though, that if you were to do that and find a place...
Pressure's helping you. Pressure's your friend.
Maybe, but the fish are your friend, and they can... I don't know, what is it, quote-unquote, at depth, the fish will quickly clean up the leftovers. So there's no evidence... And you're, you know, being environmentally sensitive, I guess, too. Yeah, no?
I can't imagine. I refuse to imagine.
Now, in a pinch, let's what if
pinch?
It's if it's cold? If the water's cold and you're wearing a skin or a wetsuit, what are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do it in the wetsuit.
Well, that
I am not.
That would be quite a mess. And one diver suggests, you know, hey, this is another reason why you have a dive knife.
Oh, and, gee whiz.
You go so far as to cut open a flap with your dive knife. Now, see, that's something I would have never thought of until I found this.
Well, let me tell you a little secret.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think of it.
Well, I'm just you. This is stuff that, God forbid.
Greg,
this is the real world, Bill.
Greg,
you could find
how embarrassing is it going to be when you get back up onto the dive boat and have to explain, first of all, why there's a flap, and secondarily, why you're bleeding profusely because you took your dive knife to try and cut your 5-mil wetsuit away from your buttocks.
Well, now a
so
5
you could
mil,
poop in the ocean.
I don't think a 5 mil would be realistic. But if it's a skin, that is actually...
If it's a skin, you could just get out of it.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't, it depends. You know, it just depends on how... You know, remember, you got to take off your gear. You got to take off your suit. I mean, it's quite a challenge there, depending on where you're at. Now, what if you're in a really cold water environment? What if you're in a dry suit? What are you going to do, Bill?
I'm going to get back on the boat, and I'm going to suffer as long as I possibly can.
Okay, well, evidently, now, see, I'm a warm water wuss, and I've only done the dry suit thing once, but one of the solutions for dry suit divers, which you may not be aware of, is that they wear diapers. Did you know that?
I can understand where they might.
Yeah. Well, they do. They seriously, the dry suit divers
there you
are
go.
Well.
You don't even have to worry about it because, cold water, there's going to be a tendency to possibly have to even do number one. You don't want to do that inside of a dry suit, for sure.
Right.
That's not going to be pretty.
So,
although sterile.
Depends. That's how they, you know, they make their money. Divers, big segment of their clientele, I guess.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
When you were little, all you needed to have fun was a sunny day, a boat, and some water. For three generations, Boat US has worked to maintain this carefree lifestyle by providing time and money-saving services for millions of boaters, including low-cost boat insurance, towing on and off the water, discounts on fuel and equipment, and so much more. Boat US keeps boating safe, simple, and affordable, so your family can still enjoy a sunny day on the water. Visit BoatUS.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
We gotta
get down, get down.
Gotta,
get down,
gotta,
get down,
gotta get
down, get down.
Oh, no, no.
Gotta,
gotta, gotta
get down.
Gotta, 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 gotta
get down, get down.
Gotta get down,
get down.
Gotta get down.
All right, lo and behold. We've gotten the attention of the Scuba Radio chat room for once during our little broadcast. And they are actually discussing our topic in the chat room, uncensored.
Unbelievable.
And they said there really is no such thing as a dive boat without a head available, because they all have 5-gallon buckets on the boat that they'll use for mass cleansing or mass rinsing or cameras and that thing. And in a pinch, you fill half the bucket up with salt water. And then you send the rest of the passengers up to the bow of the boat. You take care of business if you get so inclined. And then you dump your remains and you're good to go.
Dump?
Yeah.
Hey, actually, you know what? That is a brilliant strategy.
Is it?
Why not? I mean, you'd be in the right sitting position.
Good point. It might leave a nasty ring.
I don't think you spend extra time. You don't linger.
Yeah, this is true. But I got to tell you, next time I rinse my mask,
I'm going to be thinking twice about that.
I'm going to be using a hose. So there you go. You know, we're here to explain things that sometimes you don't get in your normal, you know, mainstream dive media. And I think today we performed admirably. Don't you, Bill?
Yeah. We talked about something that is a hidden undercurrent, and probably is discussed in many editorial meetings, and they say, "Will this be the issue?"
Wait, is discussed or disgusting?
Yes, there's the disgusting too.
Okay,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I suspect that probably every issue of Scuba Diver, they probably say, "Should we talk about pooping?"
Maybe, maybe not.
And they say every time, "No, of course not." Well, of course we shouldn't talk about that.
Is that kind of real-world information, though, that we want to make our divers safer, we want to make them more informed, and just happier? And God knows, if you ever get yourself in that kind of situation, you don't know what to do, you're not going to be very happy. And we've given you several solutions to a potential problem that will make your dive adventure just that much more enjoyable.
I'm glad I was here to be a part of it. Hour number two.
Aren't we all? All right, hey, look, next week we got more mayhem and fun, and I swear we won't discuss that kind of thing of doing your business underwater.
Woohoo!
Yes, we've covered that base. It's time to leave it lie for at least another week or two. Two. Till then,
yeah.
Remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good night, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.